I want to finish 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, in which Peter deals with the written word of God, our Bible, and we are so blessed in this country to have free access to Scripture. Bible publishing is very productive right now, and they're moving from China to Denmark and Korea and publishing Bibles, and the translators continue to work on some of our translations, and it's just a rich field out there. We are just blessed. And so we're going to look at what Peter has to say about the Word of God this morning. The theme, and I want to review a little bit. It's been a little bit of time since we've looked at 2 Peter chapter 1. The theme we're looking at is how to build and maintain God-directed resilience in a day of apathy. And I believe 2 Peter is very, very important. And if you read any study books on 2 Peter, they will tell you, I'm not sure I mentioned this or not, that 2 Peter is one of the most neglected books in the New Testament. Jude would be the other one that's neglected. You know, we spend a lot of time with John and Matthew and Romans, and that's important, but 2 Peter is really neglected and very, very powerful. We still have some scriptural journals for you on the table. If you didn't get one of those, or if you want another one, or if you want someone for a friend or neighbor, please take advantage. We have more of those. And as we're reviewing 2 Peter, I want to give you the three R words that, and if you have these three words beginning with R, you'll have the basic outline of 2 Peter. Chapter 1 deals with reminding. Okay, Peter's going to remind the church of what they already know. Reminding. 2 Peter chapter 2 deals with reality, the reality of false teachers. Peter will say, you know, in the Old Testament, there was false prophets. There will be false teachers among you. Not maybe, definitely false teachers in the church. And if there's going to be false teachers in the church, and Peter said there will be, the church needs discernment like never before. And the discernment we're going to get based by the Spirit of God will come from the Word of God. I was talking to Tim earlier this morning, and it's just amazing, amazing out there. Some of the most powerful people we've trusted for years being faithful guides are now teaching false doctrine. It's just amazing. But Peter said that would happen, and we need to be alert. And then chapter 3 of 2 Peter deals with the return of Christ, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. Peter, as a faithful pastor, will demonstrate his diligence in watching and warning his flock by giving them preventive medicine, because on your outline, there's a dogmatic assertion being spread by false teachers in the church, and that assertion is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, an outright denial of the second coming. Outright denial of the second coming. Let me find it in my Bible. You can see it up there. He says in verse 3, knowing this first of all, that scoffers, these are some of the false teachers, will come in the last days, that's now, with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, if Jesus didn't come back yet, he's not coming back. Okay, he's never going to come back. By the way, I'll go off script here. Why didn't they not want Jesus to come back? Okay, why didn't they want Christ to come back?
Yeah,
they want accountability. They don't want that to be real. Yeah, they want to do what they want to do. They believe in no future judgment, and if there's no future judgment, live like you want to live. They believe that God does not intervene in human history, period. No creation, no flood, no Sodom and Gomorrah, and the list goes on and on and on. And it really hurts to run into some folks you used to trust as being faithful Bible teachers denying those very things in Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are very, very crucial. The whole Bible's crucial. When you deny the second coming of Christ, it promotes apathy, kills resilience, and so Peter is going to give two apologetics to underline the importance of the return of Christ. First one, rock-solid assurance number one, is the truth of Jesus' coming is based on totally reliable, first-hand, apostolic testimony. We saw that a couple weeks ago in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18, where Peter says, we were not following fables. We were not following fantasies when we wrote about the coming of the Lord. In fact, Peter was one of the eyewitnesses during the transformation, seeing what the second coming is going to be like on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says, we were given a preview at the time the Lord Jesus was transfigured before us, and we heard the voice. We heard the declaration of God the Father concerning his Son. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, the Father says to the apostles who were there on the Mount of Transfiguration, says to us as well, hear him, listen to him, give heed to him. The glorious truth that the Transfiguration underscored is Jesus will be back. He's coming back in full honor and glory. And let me read to you from Acts chapter 8, since we're in that Easter season, Acts chapter 1, rather, verse 9 through 11, where Peter was also present as an eyewitness. He was there. He saw this. He heard this. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, after Jesus had given the mandate in verse 8, it said, when he had said these things, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them, two angels in white robes, and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. What are they telling us here? He's coming back. He's coming back. Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Now this morning, I want to go over the rest of 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm confusing my numbers here. And give you a second rock-solid assurance, which is the truth of Jesus' second coming is based not only on eyewitness account, but also on the written word of God, specifically the Old Testament prophets. And we just read that a few moments ago. Even more potent than eyewitness account, Peter will tell us. Very, very powerful. Very, very reliable. And the point of these verses written out for you is that the eyewitness or the transfiguration and the Old Testament prophets, that's God's word, are a dual and powerful confirmation of Christ's future coming. Much, much needed because, number one, and this outline will be a little different this morning. Number one, this is not new. I think Tim mentioned this opening up the service this morning, that you and I are constantly barraged by unrelenting, constant, non-stopping lies, aren't we? We live in a culture of lies. We just do. It's nothing new. Psalm 116, verse 11. This is interesting. The psalmist said, Psalm 116, verse 11, this, I said in my alarm, all men are liars. I don't recommend that verse as your life verse, okay? Find something a little different. All men are liars. And as was mentioned, Tim mentioned earlier, you know, thanks to technology, social media, all the podcasts out there, we are constantly exposed to lies, distortions, half-truth. Where are the reliable sources? You can't trust the news. Our top officials on both sides of the aisle are often caught lying to us, flat out lying. I mean, you could prove it. You could show them the recordings. One day they say one thing, the next day they say something totally opposite, or they get caught in a lie. And you know what bothers me more than anything else? It's not so much the lie as that there's no consequences right now. There's no consequence. There will be in the future when Christ comes back, but it seems that how can the top officials get away with this and no one cares? No one cares. Medical doctors with whom we've entrusted our very lives often don't tell us the truth. That hurts. Pharmaceutical companies don't tell us the truth. Sometimes leaders in the church don't tell us the truth. Sometimes we lie. And sometimes we lie to ourselves. The Bible says we can deceive ourselves. But Peter reminds us, and we can go on and on with the bad news. Peter reminds us some great truth here that when you turn to God's word, you are consulting the only reliable source. All right? Ultimate truth. The Bible alone contains God's word, his truth, objective truth, unchanging truth, unchanging standards. What's the word of God say? What does Jesus say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what?
My word.
Solid. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And we have God's written and preserved word. And as I said before, I really believe this. I think, and this frustrates you a little bit. I know it frustrates me a little bit. But we have, we are blessed with many great Bible translations. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, sometimes we'll say, well, the New King James says this, and the ESV says this, and the NIV says this. That different men just translating the same word of God with different aspects is wonderful. When you make other sources your source of truth rather than the word of God, you'll fall into error, okay? And that's what Peter wants to underscore. Nothing can be exalted above God's word, and I know you believe that. Listen to this, Psalm 138, the first two verses. David says, I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. What a treasure. What a gift we have. Romans number 2 on your notes. I want to say a quick word about the York Bible Church Statement of Faith. And this is in our Constitution, Article 3, under the inspiration and authority of the Scriptures, what we teach. And by the way, you probably know this, but let me repeat this. An important question to ask any church, mission organization, Christian college, or really any Christian organization is, what is your position on the Bible? What is your position on the Word of God? I want to know. And I have a lot of other questions, but I want to know, what is your position? From our doctrinal statement, our statement of faith, let me quote this. By the way, Dr. Cohen wrote it, and you know it's going to be thorough, and it's going to be biblical, and it's going to be very, very good. We believe the Bible, in its entirety, is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. When the Bible speaks, God speaks, okay? I go on to quote, we believe in the authority of the word of God, the Bible, the final and ultimate authority. And he'll go on, Doc will go on to talk about how what we believe, not about science, science is always changing, not human wisdom, not culture, but the Bible, which is the very, very breath of God. I have some friends, you have some friends, that go to different churches that have creeds and confessions, the Heidelberg Confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and other kind of things, and they are helpful, but the Bible is our ultimate source of truth. We understand that? Amen? It's our mandate. It's our mandate that we teach, preach, and spread God's word. Back in January, I saw a trip leaving from Dillsburg out to see the Ark in Kentucky and the Creation Museum. And I know my wife wanted to go see that. I don't want to make the trip, but I saw a bus trip. That looks kind of good. So we signed up. And so, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll get on the bus with the Jacobs brothers, if they're around, they're running this, and we'll go out to see Ken Ham's Ark. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that, because there's very few people anymore who believe what the Bible says is true. It's just amazing how many folks will say, well, there really wasn't a universal flood or all that kind of stuff. And we thank the Lord for Ken Ham, who not only believes the answers in Genesis, but just kind of gives you some things to show you how God's word can be trusted. So we're looking forward to that. And by the way, our statement dealing with the Bible is available. If you'd like a copy of that, I can get you one. Let me know, right? Let me jump to Roman numeral 3, and we'll briefly go through verses 19 through 21, where number 3 in your notes, Peter talks about the certainty and priority of Scripture as a witness to the second coming. The certainty and priority of Scripture as a witness to the second coming. Remember, he talks about eyewitnesses. He also talks about the prophetic word of God. Number one, three ones under this section. Number one, Peter declares the certainty of God's written word. The certainty of God's written word. When he says, we have something more sure. We have something more sure. We have another source of assurance that is even more reliable than the testimony of the apostles. And the testimony of the apostles was pretty strong. Peter says, if my personal experience and testimony is not enough, there is a source even more sure. And that is the written, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 24 concerning the Word of God. Luke 24, 25, 26, and 27. Luke 24, 25. Jesus said to them after the resurrection, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And it says this, and this has to do with the Old Testament scriptures. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. The scriptures spoke the prophetic word referring to all of the Old Testament, the certainty of the Word of God. Second thing Peter does, Peter will go on to detail the function of God's written word, the function of God's written word in the rest of verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says, the prophetic word to which you will do well to place close attention as to a lamp, a light, shining in a dark place until the day dawns and a morning star arises in your heart. Peter says, our responsibility is to pay attention. And that means to be in a continuous state of readiness to learn of any future error, danger, or need and appropriately respond. Pay attention. Pay attention to the Word of God. And he uses a picture as you would to a light in a dark place, a much needed lamp or light in a dark place. Kathy, I was hoping you were going to sing that song this morning, because that's exactly what these verses talk about in Psalm 119. Some of you have memorized, I know a lot of you have memorized this, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is what? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Much needed. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the darkness. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul reminds us that we live in a world that is full of spiritual darkness. We need the light of God's word. And Peter will say that we need to pay attention to the Word of God until the day dawns, that's the return of Christ, and a morning star rises in your hearts. Those are symbolic of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what Peter is reminding us of, and this is important today, he's reminding us of the abiding value of the Old Testament. Because there's some very, very popular teachers out there, and I may deal with some of them when we get to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. There's some teachers out there who have written some books and speak to millions of people saying, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. They say, we need to become unhitched. That's the exact word they're using. We need to become unhitched from the Old Testament. No, the Word of God is still important. The Old Testament is still very, very, very important. And Peter says we need to follow it like a light. We need to follow the Bible when it comes to marriage and gender and origins. Isn't it goofy what's going on with the whole gender? Did you see that one coming? No. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Origins, government, the future. There's people out there, there's Christians out there caught up in this whole thing. I'm not that upset with what the world's doing. I get upset when so-called believers buy into all the nonsense and leave the Word of God. I think Peter's message for us today, part of it is, don't worry about global warming. Worry about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be ready, because we're going to be evaluated for what we have done in our bodies, whether good or bad, and we'll be rewarded. And it has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It has to do with rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And then, back to 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter declares the divine origin of God's word. And you all know this because you read this. Some of you have taught this. But in verse 20, Peter tells us where God's word did not come from. It is knowing, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. It did not have human origin. It wasn't what the apostles thought or what the prophets thought. In verse 21, Peter tells us where God's word did come from. He said, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Not a human product, but men spoke as they were directed and superimposed by the Spirit of God. Used their personalities, but made sure what they wrote down, what they spoke, was the message God wanted them to record for us. Supernatural, divine, God-breathed. What's Peter telling us today? Several things. I believe Peter's telling us that we need to live in light of the return of Christ. Christ is coming back. We're waiting for him to come back at any moment. We need to live in light. And John tells us that those of us who are living that way, if we live that way, we're going to purify ourselves like he is pure. Second thing, and we'll say this often, Peter is telling us, I believe, that we need to hold on to things loosely. We get so caught up with things, with everything the world has to offer. We need to hold on to things loosely. Third thing Peter's telling us, I believe, is we need to wholly rely on God's written word, no matter what the majority says, all right? No matter what's going on out there. As I said several times, it's discouraging when professing believers depart from Scripture. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? Even Jesus reminded us of that. We need to wholly rely on God's written word, no matter what the culture does. Read it, obey it, tell and encourage others. And then I just want to read John 3:36. It's kind of a bottom line verse for me. As we tell people about the word of God, about salvation, about what God has done for them, lovingly sending us Christ. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has what? Eternal life. Bottom line, you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son by not believing shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's the message. That's the warning, because Jesus will return. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you for giving it to us. And may we be good stewards in Jesus' name. Amen.